take your Bibles and let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I prayed and I really felt strongly about preaching a message. But the more I prayed, the Lord changed my heart and laid this on my heart. Now, it'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a help if you'll understand it and you'll listen to it. I want you to get a principle from it tonight. But we're going to look at some verses about faith. And so let's look at these verses, and then we're just going to teach the Bible, preach the Bible, and learn some things. And nothing new, nothing that your pastor hadn't taught you, and many of you haven't heard down through the years. Okay, but to remind us, push a reset button, what it takes to please God. What it takes to please God. Let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 14. 9 and verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away." He kept getting worse and worse and worse, and losing strength, and getting sicker and sicker. "And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Part of the reason why we don't get our prayers answered, and we blame God for not coming through on faith. And he said, No, there's some things that if it takes more faith, and you're going to have to put a little time and effort and prayer and fasting and spend some time seeking the face of God. And he's told us many times, if you want something, knock and knock and knock and seek and seek and seek. He doesn't always give it to you on the first time. And when the disciples were talking to him about prayer, he said, he used the illustration of the judge and going to the judge and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. And he said, this kind of healing here, this kind of doing what this has, this cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Jesus had just come. Let's pray. Father, bless this time. I need your help. Be with your people. Thank you for this dear church, these dear people, the pastor and his family. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had just gone up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was transfigured into his heavenly body, his resurrected body, I believe. And he was up there with Peter, James, and John. And Moses and Elijah came and talked to him, and Peter stuck his foot in his mouth and said, Hey, let's build a tabernacle to Moses and Elijah and to Jesus. Well, Jesus isn't on the same level as Moses and Elijah. Okay, this Jesus is God. Okay, Moses and Elijah were good, you know, good preachers and all that, but you don't build a tabernacle to Moses and Elijah. But it wasn't that Peter didn't know that, just Peter always talked and then he thought. Okay, and so he had a foot and mouth problem. Okay, but that had just happened. Jesus came down off the mountain, and there were some of his disciples. He had 12, so what was that leave? 9 down there at the bottom. And at least most of them were there. A couple of them gone to get pizza. And so you read your scripture. You're just not reading your Bible enough. Okay? A couple of them are hungry. See, it don't take all of us to do this. I'll go get some food. Am I making that up? No. Okay, so anyway, at least some of them are down there. And a man came and said, my son, one place, he says he has a dumb spirit, but he was demon possessed. There was an evil spirit in him. That's what it said. And if that's not the case, then this man has you just got hearing aids, right? Okay, well, either you're demon possessed or you're hard of hearing. This man has a that's hearing aids. But this, you said, this wasn't just a hearing problem. He had an evil spirit in him. It's okay, you know. He's okay, but he had an evil spirit in him, and because of that, okay, the evil spirit affected him physically. Okay, it threw him into the fire. It threw him into the water. It tried to drown him. Tried to hurt him. And Satan always tries to hurt us. Okay, he promises you, but he doesn't pay off. And this child was having a hard time. And so this man heard about Jesus. He came, but Jesus was on top of the mountain. So he said, hey, can any of you assist us, help him? And I think they prayed for him, and they tried. And then Jesus came down the mountain, and he did not praise them for trying. Y'all keep it up. Y'all get there someday. He rebuked them. He rebuked them. And what did he say? He said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? How am I going to put up? When are y'all going to learn how to get this down? I've taught you. I've worked with you. And here you are. I've been dealing with you. And y'all are supposed to be my apostles. You should be further along. You should understand. You should get your prayers answered. And he rebuked them. Why? Because they lack faith. And then we know the story here of how Jesus healed him, cast him out, and the child was restored, and there was an act of faith here. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Very important verse. Very important verse. The whole chapter of Hebrews is about faith. Trusting God, obeying God, okay? Doing what he says. It's not enough to just believe, we've got to act on it. In Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter on faith, but it says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. How can you pray if you only believe in God? How can you pray if you don't believe he's up there answering your prayer? He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When it says that he is there, he's saying, I am. That's that he is the I am. He is. He's ever eternal. He's forever and ever. And if you're going to believe in God, you have to believe that he's up there. And you have to believe that he answered prayers, and that he's going to reward you. I got just a little bit of ring in this, okay? You might, we got a monitor up here. Maybe the monitor. I don't know. Okay. Just a little bit of rain. And so, in order to please God, you have to have faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. You got to believe he's up there. You got to believe that he's going to reward you. You got to believe that he's answering your prayer. Let's talk about this faith thing. What does it take to get saved? It takes faith to get saved. You can't, but there's many people run around saying, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. But they're not having faith to trust him for their salvation. They're trusting their works. You can't get to heaven, 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 heaven. Okay? Okay, I done heard this sermon. I want y'all to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. Echo, echo. Okay? It's terrible, isn't it? Okay. By faith, we get saved. Not by works of right, it's by faith. And you know the Bible says there's going to be many people up there that say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? I've never prophesied anything to come true. It's not like I sit over here one of these days. I just see it. I feel it. Well, that's not true. I prophesied a few things as assistant pastor and principal. I said, kid, you're going to die if you don't get that done. Okay. I prophesied that. Okay. Have we not prophesied your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? I've never done I did suspend a couple of kids from school. Okay. I've never cast out a devil. And it said, have we not done many mighty miracles in your name? I think the things that we do through God's power are miraculous, but that's not what they were talking about. And Jesus said, depart from me. God says, I never knew you. Why? Because they're trying to work their way to heaven. It's not by faith. It was by works. And that's not what salvation is. And we have to understand, you cannot please God. Oh, Cain, what did he do? Cain brought his works to God and said, look at these watermelons. Look at these turnip greens. Look at these squash. Look at this. Look at this corn on the cob. Aren't you proud of me, God? God said, well, it was my seeds. It was my ground. It was my water. But look at what I did. Abel brought a sheep, slit its throat, shed the blood, and said, God, I understand one day you're going to send your son, the Lamb of God. He'll die. That blood didn't rub on him and wash away his sins. It was his faith. Abraham was justified by faith, not the works of the law. We have many, many people who claim to be Christians going to church and yet lost because they're depending on their works. They're trusting their works. It's impossible. You can't go up to heaven and say, Lord, ask people, you think you go, oh yeah, I know God loves me, so He's going to let me in. Well, He does love you, but He's a holy God and He has to punish sin, and your sin has to be accounted for. Well, Jesus died for me. But you have to accept that. Salvation is by faith. We have to have faith, saving faith. Let me say this next. We ought to have faith that God can take us through difficult circumstances. I do not know what you're facing in your life. I don't know what your circumstances are. It may be financial, it may be physical, okay? It may be a marriage problem. It may be a child problem. I don't know. But there are many difficult circumstances. But the children of Israel came out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they came up to the Red Sea. And they had the cloud behind them, so Pharaoh and his army couldn't see it. And the sea before them, and then the army showed up. And all those people said, we're going to die. Why did we leave? And it scared them to death. Why? Because they didn't know what was going to happen. But God is the God of miracles, and He can get us through difficult circumstances. He can control nature. You know, when the storm came and He's on the boat, and the disciples marvel that even the winds and the waves obeyed Him. He can control nature. We see that He stilled the storm. We see old Gideon. He said, Lord, do you want me to whoop up on these Midianites? And the Lord said, yes, I will. And He said, okay. And he did a few things, and he made some sacrifices, and he called a bunch of people. Got about, what was it, 30,000 people? 30,000 men, I think it was. And he said, well, 30,000 to 100,000 Midianites. All of y'all got to kill at least three. Let's take some pledge cards. Bow your heads, raise your hands right now. How many's going to go three? How many's going to go five? Okay, put it on a card. Put it on an offering plate. No. Maybe? No? Okay. And so he said, hey, look, guys, it's 3-1. Third, a little bit, you got to kill 3 1/3, okay? Can we do that to protect our families? Are you willing to fight off somebody to protect your wife? Are you willing to fight off three? And they said, we'll do it. And God said, you got too many people with you because you just got through saying, yeah, I'll take on three. They just got through saying that. And God said, no. If that's the case, then you're going to get the credit for it. Mm-mm. No, send some of them home. So he said, okay, everybody's got an expecting wife. Everybody's got a crop. Everybody that does this, whatever your excuse is, if you don't want to be here and you don't think it's the right thing for you to do, and that, what's that guy that talks you into signing up down there? The recruiter laughed at you about what he was going to do in 4 years ago. You can go home, okay? All right. Am I making this up? Okay. And you can go home. Guess what? 20,000 of them went home. And everybody's going like, hey, this ain't right. Now we got 10 to 1 odds. I got to kill 10 people. Protect my wife. And so God says, you still got too many. Because you're still trying to figure out how to do it. He was teaching Gideon. And he said, what do I do now? He said, take them down to the water. Let them drink. And the ones that laid down put their face in the water and got down there and drank. Well, somebody come up behind them, stabby, stabby, kill them. But the ones that the Bible says left, they got down like this and they took the water and they lapped it. They did like this because they were looking. Because they were plumb scared. He said, I'll use the scared ones there. I'll use them because they'll give me the glory. Okay? Them other guys, I ain't scared. But he sent them home. So he's down to, he sent 9,700 more people. Lord, I started out with 30,000 people. And you sent 20,000 home. Then you sent another 97. You left me with 300 people. You didn't, that's not what we signed up for. When we talked about this and all these people showed up, I say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to work this out. This is good. I got schnookered on this deal. And we know that he went with them. They got trumpets. They got pitchers. They surrounded the Midianites. They said, the sword of the Lord and Gideon be upon you. And they broke the pitcher. They blew the trumpet. They lit the light. And each one of those trumpets, when you go into battle, you do the charge, whether it's the soldiers or the cavalry. How many trumpets you got? How many trumpets you got? One. How many they have? 300. Ah, there's a bunch of people up there, man. No, they're not. They just got 300 trumpets. They blew the trumpets. They lit the light. And everybody, and the Midianites started killing each other. That's my horse. No, that's my horse. No. And that, they were trying to kill each other to get out of there. And they just followed up, mopped up. And Gideon said, well, that God does answer prayer. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, I don't have any money to pay my taxes. It's that time, isn't it? Okay, we may want to preach on that. I don't have any time to pay my tax. And God said, go out there and catch a fish. And in that fish, you're going to find some money. He hadn't answered that prayer like that for me. You're going to find some money and take that and pay it for me and for thee. And Peter said, that was neat. God is able to overcome hard circumstances. But what did the man say? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. But I don't know what difficult circumstances you have in your life. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know. But I know this. Every one of us have gone through something or going to go through something at some time. Okay, maybe it's not right now. But God can handle difficult circumstances if we'll allow it to Him and we'll believe. Next. When a preacher says next, you know he's not going to tell you how many points he got, see? Faith that God can pass our human frailties. What did Moses do? God said, Moses, go down and help my people. He said, I don't know. He had a speech problem. He had a stutter problem. Something wrong there. And he said, Lord, I'm not well of speech. He said, you can do it. He said, you can do it. You can do it. And he showed him the burning bush, and he threw down the snake. He threw down the rod. And he said, Lord, I'm hard at speaking here, and I'm having trouble. And he said, I'll go with you, trust me. He said, no, trust me. I know you're hard of speaking here, and it's giving you difficulties. Okay, he said, throw it down. It came a snake. He said, pick it up. He said, I'm hard of hearing too. What'd you say? And God used Moses in spite of himself. Paul had an ailment in his flesh, and he prayed three times for God to remove it. And God said, I don't want to. I want to get the glory that I'm using you inside of this. Maybe you've got a sickness. Maybe you've got a health problem. Maybe you've got a speech problem. Maybe you've got a shy problem. Maybe you have a problem physically, or maybe you say, well, Brother, I'm just not bright enough to teach a Sunday school class, or I'm not just not good enough to do this, and I don't, God can help you. God wants some Gideons that'll give Him the glory. God wants some people that'll say, or Moses that'll say, well, I know there's people that are more talented, but you know what God does when you give Him your talent? He takes it and multiplies it and gives you more. But you say, well, if I had as much as that person did, I would sing, I would do this, I would do that. But I could never knock a door, I could never give a God, I could never do this, I couldn't do... Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because God has chosen the weak things of the world,
yes, sir,
the foolish things of the world, to confound the wise, because He wants the glory.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't want to share His glory with anybody. He don't want a hot shot doing His work. And God would like to take somebody and nurture them, train them, grow them up. And you say, but I have difficulties with this. I'm older. I'm feeble. I'm as weak. Okay, I understand that. But there's things you can do if you'll surrender. There are things that God can impact. I'm not saying you're going to keep up with it, but there's things you can do. Don't use it as an excuse.
Amen.
If you'll use the strength God has given you, God will increase your strength.
Amen.
If you'll use the singing that God has given you, God will grow you. Now, He may not grow you in that area, but the fact that you used it, and they may say, well, look, we're going to schedule you to sing on the bus Sunday. somebody asked me, Brother Bulky, we didn't know you sang specials. Yeah, I've been singing specials for a year. Led to singing, doing all that. Well, why don't you sing specials anymore? I said, I do. Do you really? I hadn't heard you. Yeah, they said they schedule the good people Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They schedule me on Friday night. If you don't come up here and hear me sing then, okay? But the good ones kind of replaced me. Why? Because they can sing better than me. I'm not lying. Okay. But there's people that, hey, let's use those people. But you find things to do and God uses you and the preacher sees that you're available and you're showing him that and you find a place to serve, but you're not going to do that if you don't step out and say, God can use me. And you say, yeah, but I know there's other people up there more talented, more capable, more intelligent, better this, better that. The preacher doesn't really want me. And God, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. We have to have the faith that God can overcome difficult circumstances, and we have to have the faith that God can overcome human frailties, our weaknesses, our lack of talent. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I hate the entertainment. I hate the entertainment singing and church entertainment, and we're looking, oh, and I'm just shining, and everybody, oh, wasn't that just wonderful? And we're giving that person the praise. Something wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
I'd a whole lot rather somebody get up there and struggle through something and be a little bit hesitant. I'm not talking about not being first class. I'm not talking about that. But you got to start somewhere. Amen. We'll put you in junior church. You can start when you get good. We'll move you there. No. You got to be able to say, Lord, preacher, where can you use me? God, I'll give you what I've got. No, I'm not as good as... No, God wants everybody to be serving. I let the preacher help you decide.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us. Is anybody here? No, there's too many people that know me in here. I can't preach a good sermon because I'll get to say something and some of these people know who I'm talking about. Okay? There's one family I've known for a number of years and they sing in front of the whole church and have in different places and stuff like that and lots of different areas. One of them hurts your ears. Okay? That one don't need a microphone. Hold it over here. Okay? And nobody's, but she's trying. Okay, but that's just not how God blessed her. But there's other things she can do. But if the heart's right and you're willing, we'll find something. But it's got to click here. A person who says, well, I can't, you'll never do anything. Because you don't believe God can. Now, God may not give you the voice of an archangel or a lark and a beautiful singer. But if you say, preacher, can I, we'll find something. To overcome difficult circumstances, to overcome human frailties. Oh, here's a hard one. We've got to have faith that when you say, dear God, please forgive me, that He does forgive past sins. You know why a lot of Christians don't serve God? Because they're still struggling with something they've confessed many, many, many times. And there's that guilt that's there. There's consequences to sin. The wages of sin is death. Just because you don't go to hell doesn't mean you don't have the consequences. Okay? And so, what happens here is we don't serve the Lord because I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy.
Right.
All of us have sin. Right. There's nobody worthy to get saved. Okay, but I'm not worthy to get saved, but okay, and I understand that, and I'm saved by grace, but the people that can serve around church, people can win people Christ, people can sing and do this, and whatever it is, and do different things. And work here and do this and serve God and be blessed in their life. God will never bless me. God will never bless my marriage. God will never bless my children. I blew it. God can bless you. I said this morning in the Sunday school lesson, the woman that God forgave the most, Mary Magdalene, who she loved him very, very, very much, she was at the tomb. And when she came and she said, tell me where they have laid him. She thought he was a gardener. And he said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni. He said, touch me not, for I've not ascended unto the Father. He was still in his high priest. He had not put the blood on the altar. He could not be touched. He would desecrate the sacrifice. I'm sure there was a few people that didn't care for her singing in church. But God changed her life. I didn't say the first Sunday she got saved, she was teaching a Sunday school class. I didn't say that. There's some requirements to teach a Sunday school class and sing in the choir and sing. There's some growth there and God beginning to use you. But David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. He's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. I think God put that in there. Now, God didn't cause him to do that. So that we can see, well, Lord, if you can forgive that, you can forgive this, you can forgive that, and still use me.
Yes.
But this is what we do. There's people out there that are better qualified talent-wise as far as me physically and my talent. I understand. Okay, fine, but God can use you physically. And there's people out there also that are more worthy than I am. None of us are worthy. We're worthy through Christ. And when He washes us, we're all the same clean.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, as you grow, the preacher's not going to put you teaching a Sunday school class when you've been saved a week and a half. The preacher's not going to have you up here singing Amazing Grace when it sounds a whole lot like Elvis. He's going to give you a little time, get a little Elvis out of you. Amen? Okay. Our past sins. Moses had a temper, and Moses murdered a man. He had a temper. Moses had a temper. But then God called him a meek man. Wow. Transformation. Because he said, okay, God, I'll do it. 40 years old when he killed a man, 40 years old on the backside of the desert for God to develop. But God said, that's a meek man. Took a little fire out of him. What did God do? He got married. No, I'm just kidding. Faith, that's not in the notes, folks. Okay. Faith that God can overcome difficult circumstances. Faith that God can use me in spite of any human frailties, weaknesses, lack of talent. Faith that God can forgive me of my past sins. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And we doubt. We doubt. The same faith that it takes you to get saved is the same faith that it takes you to grow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Peter. He said, Lord, he made a big deal in front of all the disciples. And he said, I won't deny you. You can mark that down. I don't know what this Yahoo over here, John and James and all these other guys are going to do. But this guy's not going to deny you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows thrice, you'll deny me. No, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. And he did. They said, aren't you? Not me. Aren't you? Not me. Well, you even sound like one of them Baptists. And he said, you blankety blank blank, I ain't with them. And guess what? Jesus turned and looked. Didn't say a word. Wow. That look. My mama looked at me a couple times like that, okay? No, I think it was a look of compassion. I think it was a look of Peter. Peter quit the ministry. Peter got discouraged. Peter took off. He took all the bunch of disciples and they went and started the fishing business again. Jesus had to go out there on the seaside and said, hey, you guys come back here. Peter, you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. He said, go feed my sheep. He said, Peter, you love me? Well, Lord, you know I love you. Go feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, go feed my sheep. He said, okay. Put his clothes back on, went back to serving the Lord. You know what most people have done? They get out of the ministry, they quit. They said, hey, I blew it. I was embarrassed. Do you know how many people knew what Peter did? All of them did. And not only did he deny Christ, at his crucifixion, just before he was crucified there at the Last Supper, he bragged about what a good Christian he was over everybody else. Now he's got to go do this. Who preached the day at Pentecost? Brother Peter. You know why we don't serve God sometimes? Because of lack of faith, that we really don't believe God's forgiven us or something back there. I'm not worthy to rear good kids. God's not going to bless me in that. God will never bless my marriage. He won't bless my kids. He's not going to bless my soul winner. He's not going to bless this. I really couldn't be a Sunday school teacher. I couldn't do that because that was way in the past and that's shameful. And just God can't. That's not true. We're all a bunch of sinners. But you've got to be willing to have the faith that when you say, God, forgive me, to do this, that He forgives the past. And that doesn't mean it's Sunday morning. You say, preacher, you know, 2 weeks ago I got saved and I lived this life. I am ready to run the bus route. He's going to say, well, let's wait. Let's wait. But God will grow you and God will help you, and there'll come a time that God... Difficult circumstances, human frailties, past sins. Oh, what about this one? Faith that God can overcome the unknown. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. What are we scared about? We don't know. We want to be in control. We want to be in control all the time. It's so hard to trust. So hard to trust because we don't see it. But God said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. Trust me. I remember when my son was about, how old is Titus? He was about that old. Now I was about 16 months. And I had him out in the front yard and I put him on a tree stump. And it was about this. I don't know why they cut it off, but they're about that high. It was a tree stump and about 12 inches across the top there. And I put him up there and he's like, okay. And I was holding him up there, you know. And, you know, I said, mess with your mom again, I'll leave you out here another hour. No, I didn't do that. Okay. I'll do that, folks, please. Okay. But I would say, hey, son, jump to daddy. Yeah, Come on, jump to daddy. Trust me. Jump to daddy. Trust me. And I had to get right up against him and hold him. And then he'd just kind of grab everything and then, like, okay, I jumped. No, you didn't. Okay. Then I'd back up a little bit. And I said, trust me. And he'd go, come closer. Trust me. He, like, you know. And when he could grab me, then he would follow me. I wasn't jumping. And so I got to where he was trusting me a little bit, and then I backed up just a little bit. Okay. And so he would say, you know. And so, and then he jumped. And I backed up a little more. You say, where was Mama? Well, obviously she wasn't there. I wouldn't be doing this. Okay. My mom didn't raise any stubby children. Okay. And so I said, jump. And he jumped. And then I set him back up there. And I got to talking to somebody that wanted. I don't think I had a cell phone back in. This was way back when. But I was talking to somebody or something. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this kid go. I was clean over here. I never moved that fast in my life. Bless you, boy. No, I was kidding. I had to jump and run to catch him. God doesn't have to jump to run to catch. You can't be too far.
Right.
But I had to build that trust. And he trusted me. Abraham and Isaac. God said to Abraham, do you know that one day my son is going to... Yes. You know the Messiah is going to come? Yes. Do you know that I'm going to resurrect him? Yes. Do you know that one day that the promised seed... Christ Himself, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Promised One, will come through your lineage, not... What's the woman's name over there Sarah got him in trouble with? Hagar and Ishmael. Ain't that tribe, folks? It ain't that. Okay? They've been fighting ever since.
Yes, sir.
He says, not him, it's Isaac. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He said, I want you to do something now. Do you believe in the resurrection? Yes, I do, Lord. I know that when I die, someday I'll resurrect and someday I'll be with you. And yes, I believe in the resurrection. Do you believe the Messiah? Yes. Do you believe that? Yes. Yes. You really, really, really believe it? Yes. You believe I'm going to do it through your son? Yes. Not the other guy this time. You trust me on this one? Yes. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your son, my only son, the only one I recognize legitimate. The other was illegitimate. He wasn't recognized. And he went to the same mount where the temple was. And he went there and he said, okay, offer your son as a sacrifice. Whoo, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. And Isaac was not a child. He was a little bit older. He said, Dad, you've been telling me about this Messiah and you've been telling me about this and understand. He said, okay, do you understand this? And what did he do? He witnessed to him again. He wanted to make sure he was saved. Okay, catch that? Okay. Son, are you really, really sure you're saved? Because I'm fixing to do something. You don't, okay. And so, that's Brother Bulkley's version. Okay, it's not real, but it's okay. But Isaac looked and said, Dad, I see the fire. They had something carried with some coals or something. Okay, didn't have matches, but they probably had some coals and some kind of bucket or a clay container to keep the coals hot, so that would be where the fire come. That's the way they did that kind of stuff. Okay, I see the fire. And I see the wood. It was on the donkey. But where's the sacrifice? I've been watching you and I understand this now and I understand. And he said, son, who is our sacrifice? God will provide himself a sacrifice. God is our sacrifice. Jesus is the Messiah. He will be our sacrifice. I know that. And Abraham quit talking. And so Isaac knew well enough that he's already answered my question. I still don't understand, but he didn't keep saying, Daddy, Daddy. Okay, he knew when his dad told him something. He was a disciplined child. He had to be. And he got up there and he said, son, this is what God's asked me to do. Do you believe that I'm God doing what God? Yes. Do this, this. All right. He laid him down. And he put him on the altar. And he drew back the knife and God stopped him. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith. You say, where was Sarah on all this? She didn't know till they got back. Am I making that up? No, sir. Okay. She didn't know nothing about it till they got back. Okay. Or Abraham would have had to, quit hurting me, woman. Okay. He didn't, let me say something. I'm not making that up. Sarah said, you gonna do what? I don't think so. I'm taking you up there, maybe. We may sacrifice you for the example in the Bible, but we ain't sacrificing my son for no example in the Bible. That's my son. Am I making that up? No, Sarah didn't know about it till they got back. And matter of fact, I'm not sure he told her. Okay, he said, son, I'll be the one that tells mom if anybody tells you. You just keep your mouth shut. If I do decide to tell her, anyway. Faith, the unknown. Abraham and God help my unbelief. Faith of difficult circumstances. I don't know what you're facing. Faith of human frailties, weaknesses, lack of talents. Faith of past sins. God has forgiven. Faith of the unknown. Then I think about old brother Job. Faith of a broken and discouraged heart. He could not understand. His buddies came to him and said, look, we know what's wrong with you. The reason why this has happened. He had boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Have you ever had a boil? A real boil. One of the most painful things in the world. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. He had them all over his body. He'd take a pot shirt, a piece of broken pottery, and he kept scraping it, trying to break it open so it could, to relieve the pain. It was so painful. The boils are terrible. He had them all over his body. His wife said, curse God and die. He lost 10 children. We say, well, Brother Volk, I lost a child. He lost 10 one day. He lost all of his camels. What was his camel? It was his long-range trucking company. I'm not making that up. He lost his camels. What was that? That was his short-range trucking and delivery. What, Brother Dent? That's what that was. He lost his sheep. What was that? That was his clothing industry. His text. The man was a rich man. He had all kind. He had several businesses. Everything that he lost there represented a different business that he lost. He lost all of his children that day. And then lo and behold, three buddies showed up and they said, get right with God. God is punishing you because you're not right. And he said, I am. And God had a little talk with him because he got a little bit with an attitude there, right there. But he did have faith and he did not curse God and he didn't quit. And he was serving God and God turned around. Gave him 10 more children, more camels, more oxen. What was the oxen? That was the oxen, the plowing. They told him yoke of oxen. That was his farming. He produced farm products and sold them. Put them on the camels and the donkey, shipped them out. He was a wealthy man. He had many businesses. But he did not quit. Even though he could not. It was so much discouraged. What have you lost? Maybe it's a mate. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a job. You had your goals set in life and you were going to do this and do this and it did not turn out and it broke your heart. Maybe it's like the song that you were talking about tonight. Maybe it was something about a marriage and it didn't work out. God is able to get past a broken and discouraged heart if you'll just trust Him to use you and to get you through it. But it's so hard to say, God, I want to serve You when you're hurting right here. Because when you're hurting and you don't understand why you're hurting, and that's what his wife said, just curse God and die, get it over with. I'm not sure why it is, but it's God that's doing it to you. No, I'm trying to grow you. Job is the greatest example of going through human suffering. Tremendous story there. We draw strength from it. No man has ever suffered like Jesus. But there ain't too many people ever suffered like Job either. He was brokenhearted. He was discouraged. His wife was against him. His friends were against him. I don't know what you've lost. I don't know why you have the broken heart. But God can work through it. Let me say this, faith for the future. Faith for the future. That has to do with patience. Oh, God came to Brother Caleb and Joshua and 10 other guys. Hey, what is it? 10 were bad and 2 were good? Is that right? Okay, I can't sing it and do it at the same time. I'm not lying about that, okay? I've never been, okay. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The 10 came back and said, oh, big giants. They're so big, make us look like grasshoppers. We're just a little bitty. We're going to get squashed. We're going to get stepped on. We're going to get smashed like what? Bugs. That's what they said. And our side, we are like grass. We're going to get stomped on like bugs. That's what they said. That's the NBB version. Okay. Caleb and Joshua said, no. We can go in. We can take the land. We can do it. And God said, okay. The rest of you wander around out here. You're going to die until your kids, 20 and below, can go across, 21 up. Nope. But Caleb never lost his vision. I want that mountain. And 40 years later, he said, I want the mountain. And he said, I'll take it. I'm still strong. I can still whoop up on them giants. He didn't tell all of his children after that. He said, look, y'all going in there and I'll clean up and I'll come out. No, he said, I'm going in on it. I'm taking it. If God was able to give it to me back in, he's able to, and he never gave up on his dream. I don't know what your circumstance is. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what difficult. I don't know what did not work out. But I do know when God makes you a promise, the Bible says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old and not bar, work on those kids. And the hardest thing I ever did was rear kids. It is hard because it's so difficult. Constant discipline, constant working and training, and it's not. But if you do right, God will bless. You say, but Brother Bulkley, I when I married this woman, when I married this man, we had great dreams and this, and we're struggling right now. Don't throw it to the trash. You know what Caleb could have done? Caleb said, that's not right, and these guys did wrong, and all these people did wrong. And as a matter of fact, they even were going to stone Caleb and Joshua. Because Caleb and Joshua said, no. They said, you're lying. He said, no, you're lying. There's 10 of us or 2 of you. And they were going to stone Joshua and Caleb. You know what most Christians would have done? They'd have got bitter. Went and sat on the back seat of the church if they went at all because I had a dream, had a promise. God was going to do something and it didn't work out and I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And you get bitter at God and you quit serving Him. And you know what? Caleb said, I want the mountain. And he didn't just have a bad attitude for 40 years and all of a sudden turn it back home. That was hard. That was hard to trust God for 40 years. Wake up every morning. Is this that? No. Is it? No. And finally, old Joshua said, this is the time we're going over. Caleb, you better know I do. You want some? I got it under control. I've been had 40 years to figure this out. When I saw him last, I know where, and I remember everything. I've been working 40 years on this plans and that plans. Hey, you want to see my house plans? You know how many times him and his wife had sat down and rearranged this and done this and stuff? We're going to put this here. We're going to put this. We're going to put the kids. Anyway, okay. He had these house plans. He didn't just not do so. He worked on that dream. Don't you give up on your marriage. Don't you give up on your kids. Don't you give up on your ministry. You say, but it's not fulfilled right now, and I had a desire, and it's not working out. It didn't turn out the way I want. Don't you give up on it. Don't you get me mad at God. Don't get bitter at God. Caleb went home and started doing some building plans. He started laying out the property. He said, we're going to do the garden here. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. He had 40 years. Oh, Brother Noah had 120 years to build the ark. What did he do? He got an animal. And they didn't all just walk in on the day of and just show up. No, he had to go out and get them. It's called work, folks. And you know what Noah did the first day that he started getting some animals? He built a pen close enough to the house so he could go out and feed everything without having to walk through the ark because he's a man. And the woman said, what in the world is that? Why'd you build them there? Why'd you build them there? I didn't think about it. Just closer here. She said, move those pens. He got smarter. She helped. Okay. Am I making that up? No. Okay. And so, I'm telling you that Caleb for 40 years kept good and he didn't give up on his ministry. Lady up there in Mesquite, where Brother Nash and I were assistant pastors, prayed for her husband for over 20 years. I knew them when they first came to the church. She's got grown children now that love the Lord, serving God, good people. She's good. But her husband got saved after many, many years, and she prayed and prayed and prayed. Kept a good attitude, kept a good spirit, kept a submissive spirit, treated him properly and stuff, didn't just. And he finally got saved. And after he got saved, what was it, a year and a half? 2 years maybe? He died? It was less than 2 years. I don't remember. What do you remember exactly what it was? A year and a half? Don't give up. Faith that God can keep His promises. Overcome the pain. You remember the Battle of Jericho? Oh my goodness. Y'all going over and whooping people at Jericho. Okay, let's go. Oh, well, wait a minute. I want you to do it this way. We're ready, Lord. We've been waiting 40 years. We're ready. We've already planned this all out. We've got it prepared. We've had all this time. He said, no, I want you to do it this way because I want the glory here. He said, I want you to go down there and walk around it. Why? Because I said to. So they walked around it. And they didn't say a word. And all these guys are up there with just out of shot of the bow and just out of shot of throwing stuff. And they were, didn't say a word. The next day. And the next day. And they'd go home and the wife said, what'd y'all do? Did you get? No, we just walk around the city. You just walk around the city. That's what God said to do. What are you going to do? We're just going to keep walking around it until Joshua changes his mind. First day around. Second day around. Third day around. Fourth day around. Hey, Josh. Yeah. I think I may call off sick. We going to go in and kill him today or we just going to walk? Get in line. You ain't sick, boy. Am I making that up? No. I mean, what about that? I mean, everybody else could walk, you know. Tell them I said hi. 6 days. On the seventh day, they had to walk around it 7 times. Everybody's up there looking then. They wanted it, but it wasn't God's timing. It's hard to wait on God's timing. On day 2, this old guy picked on this guy over here and they called him a name and he called his mother a name and he called his mother and he took something and threw it and this guy couldn't say anything back. He couldn't cut. But this guy all week long taunted this guy and taunted this guy and they'd go back and on the way back when they could get back, okay, Joshua said, okay, here's the talking line. We're out of sight now. You can start talking now. That big old fat boy right through that hit me in the head. He's mine come the seventh day, boys. You keep me in. He's mine. I'm going to hurt him. Wouldn't you do that? Amen. He's hit me 3 days in a row, dead on. He's mine, boy. But that took some patience. Mother, oh my goodness, rearing children. A wife and a husband relationship. A husband working with a wife working with a husband. It takes... Don't give up on what God's given you. Caleb didn't get a bad attitude. Faith for the future. Faith that can overcome impatience. Waiting on God's timing. Don't get ahead of God and do it yourself like Abraham did with Hagar. I believe. Help my unbelief. In order to have faith, we've got to trust God. We've got to wait on God. We've got to overcome our lack of faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Did you know it's good to read Bible stories? Because it builds our faith. We don't do as much Bible stories to our children anymore. We really don't. What is faith? Saturate yourself with the Word, and then obey what God's told you to do. You say, but what about what? Just obey what you know to do. And when you do that, God will give you some more. The Bible says His lamp, His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not a torch that goes out there like a big old hole. I can see way. Okay, that's okay. And as you walk, that lamp, that light, you could only see the next step or two. It wasn't where you could see way down there. Faith is a step at a time. There's a verse in the Bible, I had a good sermon on it. From faith to faith. That's supposed to be the Christian life. I do this and I do this. I do this and I do this. But we don't see the whole picture. I mentioned something this morning about something that really broke my heart. I heard something was going on between some people and it was a terrible thing. My thoughts were, Brother Nash, somewhere along the way, this step of faith that was supposed to prepare them for this step of faith, they didn't do it. They've lost faith because they're not trusting God to work this out. It's breaking my heart. They're not trusting God to work it out. I don't know all the details, and I don't know who's right and wrong and who did, but I'm saying something's wrong there, and it has to do with faith. Because we're not supposed to do it in the arm of the flesh. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I'm almost through, listen to me. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith for difficult circumstances. Faith for human frailties, weaknesses, talents. Faith for past sins, the forgiveness. Faith of the unknown. Faith of a discouragement, a broken heart, and a dream that did not come to pass yet. Faith of the future that God is going to keep His promises and He is going to use me. My kids, my marriage, my situation. It is. God's going to continue. He's not going to put me on the shelf. But let me say this. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And what we tend to do is we say salvation's by faith. Now all this other stuff I'll figure out and do. No. The Christian life is by faith. God doesn't want you. He wants you to trust Him. And every time you trust Him, He moves it up. And every time you trust Him, He moves it up. It doesn't get easier. The older you get as a Christian, the bigger the burden. The difference is you begin to learn the... And these little kids say, oh, Mama, I hurt my finger. I got a boo-boo right there. Kiss me away. Oh, come here, son. Don't think it's not bad. A 20-year-old comes to a 50-year-old and says, that was 30 years ago for me. Grow up. They're 20. It's supposed to hurt. It's real to them. When that little 3-year-old comes up and says, Mom, son, I was hurt worse than that before I was even your age. Go play. Quit your whining. What did my mama do? I said, Mama. She got tired of me pestering is what she did. She wasn't a cruel woman. I said, Mama, what did I tell you to do? Go out there and do that. But I cut myself and it's hurting right there. And I was trying to get out of work. She said, okay, come here. Let me help you. Got that iodine. That hurts. And next time you need somebody, no, I'm gonna go back out there. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Mercy's sakes, affected me. Christian life is by faith. We have to be doing something by faith. I'm gonna get real personal here. Listen to me. God, are you pleased with me? Without faith, it's impossible to please me. I've asked you to do something. I've asked you to step out. I've asked you to grow in this area. I've asked you to increase this. Why? I understand that, Lord. Do you understand what I didn't do this week? I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't cuss. I didn't listen to that dirty thing on the job. I know that. And you've been doing that for 5 years. But aren't you proud of me? Well, sure, I think it's a good thing. But you passed that test a long time ago. You passed that test. You quit cussing a long time ago. Now, just a week ago when you quit thinking it, but out loud. Okay. I'm going to church faithful, God. Aren't you proud of me? Well, I think it's a good thing to do. But I'm proud of that new convert that's come 3 weeks in a row. I'm real proud of them. Well, I've come three years in a row and haven't missed it. Yeah, right. Okay. You're not impressed? No, I'm not impressed. I'm not making this up. It's what the Bible says. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is God growing you in? And if you're not taking that step of faith, God said, I'm not really happy right now because you're not being obedient. But Lord, do you realize that I went so? Do you realize I did this? Do you realize I dressed this way? Do you realize I've done it? Do you realize I hadn't missed my time? Okay, you've been tithing. When did you start doing it? Oh, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Have you missed it? I did a couple, but now I'm doing it. And it's, then you keep it up. You live faith. Be faithful. That's part of being having faith. Continue and being faithful. Continue trusting God. So yes, that is faith. Keep up your tithes. Keep up your coming to church. Keep up your Bible reading. Because that's being faithful. I'm still full of faith. That's what Caleb did. I'm not saying God's not pleased with that. But I promise you, Caleb grew during that 40 years out in the wilderness. And in order to please God, there has to be something that God is trying to grow you in. And it's different for you, and different for you, and different for you, and different for you. She'll let you know what it is. It's different for us. And we grow at different times, and we grow at different speeds, and we grow in different areas. And one person quits this and starts that, another person starts this and quits. It's not the same. We can't judge other people. And yes, being faithful requires faith. I'm not saying going sowing, doing your tithe, doing all this. But when you get to the point where some of these things, I'm still being faithful and I'm going to keep doing right. And my problem with the faith right now is not that this, is I'm being a little discouraged or my finances are a little tight. So it took more faith to tithe this week than it did last week because my finances, something happened. I blew out a tire, I needed them. So yes, being faithful requires faith. And there's going to be problems that come along while you're doing right that require faith to continue to do right. Faithfulness requires faith. But there's something that you're supposed to be growing in. Maybe that is it. Maybe it is being faithful because you haven't become steady at something. And so your faith is becoming faithful. But as you grow and stuff, then every time you grow, God begins to put something else on you. You never get to the point where God says, I'm satisfied. You can coast the rest of the way there. Because when we think we've got this fixed or that fixed, God says, okay, that's good. I'm proud of you. Come on, that is good. Have you ever done something for your dad, your mom, your teacher? And they said, that's good. Now, what about the rest of the garage? You told me, well, I wanted to see if you could do it, but now I want you to go do this. Huh. I thought you were through growing me. No. You took math, and then you take this math, then you take Algebra 1, then you take Algebra 2, and then you... You learn to pass out tracts, and then you learn to invite people to church, and then you learn to witness, and then you learn to win them, and then you learn to disciple them. I don't know where you are on the... You learn... Some of us could grow in faith of we're reading our Bible, but we're not studying it. We're praying daily, but we're not getting personal with God. I don't know what it is, but you've got to say, Lord, what is it that you're working on me? What is it that you're wanting me to step out? What is it that I'm... Because I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. God wants to work on your heart because He wants to keep backing away a little bit from that stump. So you trust me this far? You trust me this far? You trust me this far? Get in. Will you trust me with 30,000? Yeah. Will you trust me with 10,000? Yeah. Will you trust me with 300? Okay. Lord, help my unbelief. You know what he said the first time? Okay, Lord, I will. Yeah, I think we can do it. Will you do it with 10,000? I think we can do it, Lord. And when he said, can you do it 300? He said, Lord, I believe, but help that my unbelief. When God told Abraham, go, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. When God grows us, it stretches us. It's not always comfortable. It's not always fun. It's not always what we want. And we don't always understand it. Preacher comes to you and says, could you do... I can't do that. I'm not... I'd like you to start trying and I'll work. But I... It's going to be a stretch. The Lord's going to come. But the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Lord, I didn't smoke this. And I didn't drink this. And I did this. And I did this. And I did this. And I didn't do this. He said, that's good, you're being faithful. But there's also something I'm working on you. I want you to start doing this. I'm tithing. What about your missions? I'm passing out tracts. What about inviting people? I don't know what it is, but there's some stretch there. And you know, as the further you get up the ladder, the more God says, hey, you going to trust me with this? That part that's breaking my heart, Brother Nash, it's been a lifetime of preparing that person for what's going on right now. A whole lifetime of preparing for this one thing. Drop the ball. Because every time is to prepare for the next one. Every time is to prepare for the next one.
Yes, sir.
We don't ever quit growing.
Right.
You say, well, I just like to sit down and rest. And God will bless. God is good. It's good to serve Jesus. And as we serve Him, He said, hey, let's go do this. And why don't we do this? And why don't we do that? And don't sit down. Don't quit. Don't quit growing.
Amen.
Don't quit getting stretched. What do? We want to find a place where we feel comfortable and say, hey, I feel good here. And I'm looking pretty good because I don't do this and I am doing this. And just leave me alone and let me kind of... And God said, no, 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 come on. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Being faithful does require faith.